powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to Revelation 17, verse 15. Revelation 17, 15. All right, let's take the usual time to check our mental attitude, be sure we're in fellowship. This is a grace process. Anytime, any place, you implement 1 John 1, 9. According to that, it's a promise that you are forgiven and you are no longer out of sync with God the Holy Spirit with regard to, in this case, the assimilation of divine viewpoint. The only limitation that a believer has that's otherwise in fellowship and eager to listen is a lack of a broad frame of reference because of time and grade. But the more time you are in it, the you expand your spiritual frame of reference. This is a process. It's like learning any subject. You don't learn it all in one quickie course. Any subjects that are involved require time and effort on the part of the individual to begin to master it. And as you do this, you begin to grow from a baby believer. Some people just seem to stay there. A baby believer to an adolescent, to an adult or a mature believer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we assemble ourselves together so that we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge and stay the course in these perilous and evil times we find ourselves in, but they are most momentous in terms of biblical prophecy and what you have continued over the years to provide us with so that we can have this complete and accurate view of things to come. Bless this class to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In verses 15 and 16, we finally get down to it. The woman that rides on the scarlet-colored beast is going to meet her end in her final form, her final manifestation. She's going to be taken down, destroyed, eliminated through all the kingdoms that preceded, 1 through 6. In all the kingdoms that preceded, 1 through 6, she never had this happen to her. Never. It's going to happen with head number 7. All right, verse 15. And he, the angel, said to me, the waters, there is review in this, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits. He defines the metaphor here. Waters cover most of the earth's surface versus land. There's a ratio. I forgot what it was. But anyway, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits. excuse me. Got my eyes off the part. Okay. And the waters, hudor, plural, nominative, neuter, noun, with the article, the waters, which you saw, which in the previous vision, aorist active indicative, saw, where, the adverb, hopu, where the porne, the whore, the harlot, sits, present indicative of kathemai, is, are, present indicative of I me, are, peoples, and we have Laos. We have a country named after that. It's the word people population and multitudes. That means big crowds of people. That word is for crowds. And are nations, ethnos, and languages. That's how you break the human race down in a category. Okay, point one. The subject here shifts back to the woman, whore, who sits on many waters. This is her historical ride from the inceptions of this system through the course of history, and with particular emphasis on, but not to exclude others, with a special emphasis on heads 1 through 6, and starts off on in connection with head number 7 with its 10 horns. Usually waters in Scripture and Revelation refer to literal water. Here, as in certain verses in the Old Testament, it is used figuratively for humanity. So this isn't something just here. It's elsewhere in the Bible that waters are used in this connection. Psalm 18:4. Excuse me. That should probably be, that's another verse. Just go to 16. He sent me from on high. He took me and drew me out of many waters and delivered me from my strong enemy, blah, blah, on. It goes. 124:4. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Isaiah 8:7. Reads. Now therefore, behold, the Lord is about to bring on them the strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates. And Jeremiah 47, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters are going to rise from the north and become an overflowing torrent, and overflow the land and all its fullness, the city and those who live in it. And the men will cry out, and every inhabitant of the land will wail. The reference here in 17:1, the reference is to 17:1, which shows the harlot's position atop the waters. Come, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. And we work our way all the way down towards the end of the chapter before we get the information on the destruction of this system. From her position of preeminence, she adversely influences humanity through her influence over national leaders. They've always been joined together. The rulers of these nations always operated in connection with this cult, this mother-son cult. They didn't operate independently of it. They received its blessing and encouragement to go ahead with illegal activities like constant warfare, expanding their kingdom, justifying all of it, which they always do, and going out in conquest and all the other things associated with it. So bloodshed is a part of her history. This is a very evil woman. The beast, not the Antichrist, facilitates her movement around the world where she dispenses the contents of the golden cup. Again, that refers to a cup. The gold part is they have attractive system on a physical level. Big temples, all of it that goes with it. It's for a lot of show and impressing people, making certain people wealthy with a priesthood, with a high priest, etc., and promotes the mother-son cult in all of these kingdoms. And in all of them, they had the same thing. It just, they did different things, but they had the main core element in it, all of them. That's something you learned here in Bible class. These things weren't just random and popped up here and there. This stuff moved around and was established in these ancient kingdoms, 1 through 6, until it morphed. It morphed into a corrupt system claiming to be the true church of Jesus Christ, with all of the things that they have and are espousing. It's sickening. When you line it up with Scripture, it doesn't fit in any respect at all. Whether you're talking about the plan of salvation, the function of a local church, celibacy, the clergy can't get married. With all this stuff, and it goes on and on. The list is very long. And in direct contradiction to the Bible. Not to mention, but I will, the deification of Jesus' mother. This invention, declaring that she is deity. Lord, Mary thinks of that in heaven now. You're worshipped on earth. People are praying to you. And of course, this completely undercuts who and what Jesus Christ is, puts a focus on this woman, Mary, mother of Jesus. And then they say all kinds of other unhistorical stuff that can't be backed up with the Bible. Like, she remained a virgin all her life. Poor Joseph. Married her and could not have normal relations with her? Are you kidding me? That's cruelty. It's unnatural. Because that's what couples do in a marriage. It's a part of recreation and enjoyment and procreation. So you probably can get into the literature and find out when this got in place and some papal decree. Where the Pope, the highest in the clergy organization, speaks ex cathedra and is infallible. Not one of the apostles was over the rest. And he's over all Christendom, near and far, and the rest of it. The fourfold classification of humanity matches that of the beast dominance as seen in 13:7, except multitudes is substituted for the more familiar tribes. 11:9. This verse supplies the interpretative link to verse 1. The identification of the water symbol shows that the details in prophetic symbolism have a corresponding reality in the real world. After all, a primary purpose of this experience was so believers might know the secret of the beast and the woman. And the 10 horns which you saw Keras Horn, the number 10, which you saw, and the beast, Therion. These will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked. These, has two neuter nouns as its antecedent, so horns and beast are persons. So this agreement is in accord to sense rather than strict grammatical agreement. Okay. And these will hate, meseo, future active indicative, future tense. They will hate the harlot, porne, and make her desolate. Perfect passive participle, ero, mao, to become desolate. And naked, future active indicative, poieo, gumnos, naked. And they will eat her flesh, and will burn her up with fire. And they will, estheo, eat her sarx flesh, and burn, katakaio, to burn her with fire. One. The prophetic promise of verse 1 is now announced to the prophet John. I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters. Her day is coming. Her career in evil will end. The 10 kings' leaders, in obedience to the beast, the Antichrist, launch an attack on the great whore as it exists today, the Roman Catholic Church, at some point in the tribulation, and I'm taking it in the first half. Exactly when on the timeline, I can't tell you. But they're going to take this organization down. After all, it's centered in Europe, to be exact, Rome, Italy, and the European Union, the Confederation of the Antichrist, are 10 leaders out of Europe, Western Europe. That's another plug for why the Antichrist is a Caucasian of European extraction. The decision to neutralize the Catholic Church in Europe is motivated by hatred. Now, he can't take down every cathedral everywhere on the face of the earth, but he's certainly going after the center of it, Vatican City. And other places there, like in Italy and other countries that are highly Catholic, like France. The destruction of this Roman Catholicism is in line with the beast's religion. That all other faiths, good and bad, are to be banished. He's against all other kinds of religions. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 tells us this. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, you name it, on earth. I think the nations that he defeats in the when he's overthrowing nation is going to be run there under the Islam. And he's going to take that down. That'll be a favorite of the Jews. So he takes his seat in the temple of God. That's midpoint of the tribulation. The revived temple worship in Jerusalem will be where they were doing it the way it was designed to be, will be suspended. Details on that I've given you before, in which the Jews aren't forced into it, the leaders, but they make a treaty with him. They will declare him Messiah and God, if he will protect them from their enemies. Not looking to God, displaying himself that he is God. This is going to be open. We haven't ever seen this really this way. not by any national leader. They might say that God is with them and for them, and that God put me here to do this, but not to get up and say they're God. He will say that. He is a divine being. He will not cover up at all his relationship to Satan and the rest of it. Satanism will be political, in your face, and open. Dropped on people. This is in accord with Daniel 11:38, where Daniel talks about him. But instead, he will honor a god of fortresses. What exactly that means? A god of fortresses, e.g. Lucifer, whom his fathers, Greek ancestors, did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, gems, and treasures, art, and so forth. Horns are used here to symbolize military power. The 10 horns, under a directive from the Antichrist, will systematically assault all Catholic institutions. And I'm confining this to Europe. They're not going to come over here and attack Catholic churches. They're going after the head and the center of it, which is close and nearby, plundering the immense wealth of this super, pseudo, fake church. She will no longer, from that day forward, be a factor in the religious and political cosmos. Naked suggests the stripping of Catholic assets, wherever they're holed up, in banks or wherever they are. The Vatican alone houses tremendous treasures, not just above the surface, but below the surface, in tunnels under the surface. So much gold has been accumulated through the centuries. This will greatly add to the beast's war chest. Alexander the Great plundered and burned all Persian palaces. He had no discrimination about it. He went into their temples, he went into their palaces, and he destroyed them during his career. Alexander's army was financed on the march. It will be standard policy for the Antichrist to plunder all who oppose him, which is a throwback to ancient warfare. The question now had to do with eating her flesh. What's the metaphor here? What does that signify? Does it refer to the slaughter of the priesthood and those who inhabit the monastic orders? The figure recalls the eating of Jezebel's flesh, literally, by dogs. She was a super evil, immoral, and murderous woman who got her due justice. Her husband was killed in battle, the corrupt king of the northern kingdom, and a designated by God individual, I believe his name Jehu. Anyway, he went in there with his chariot to work into the deal, and she went into disguise because she knew she was in trouble. And her servants hated her guts because she was mean to everybody. They grabbed her and they threw her off of the balcony, and she hit the cobblestones, and of course she was dead. Dogs came along, street dogs. They ate her flesh. Guess what they left? Dogs wouldn't normally do this. They left her hands and her feet. You get the symbolism there? It's with her hands and her feet that she carried out her evil activities during her career. So a dog normally wouldn't even think about that. Hungry dogs would have eaten the hands and the feet. They left it. This is what beasts do to corpses. And so it becomes a vivid way of describing the utter destruction of man by other men. All of this is expressive of extreme vengeance and sharp hostility. They're just going to go in and kill people. People can surrender, it won't do them any good. They're going to wipe out the Catholic system in Europe. They're going to shut it down. They will hit all their main churches, cathedrals, institutions of all sorts. The Catholic Church has historically been opposed to the Illuminati and vice versa. They've been competition. Nostradamus was in a false prophet, and he and the Catholics did not get along. The Catholic Church has historically been opposed to the Illuminati. The burning of what remains has to do with the destruction of great cathedrals in Europe. They're just going to torch them. They're not going to say, oh, well, we'll just empty everything and then use it for our own purposes. No. They're going to bring down these historic sites. This will be a shocking development, to say the least, as the world watches on. People over here in the United States will hear about it. None of the dictators of historical Europe have gone after the Catholic Church to destroy it. There were those leaders of European nations that were in opposition to the Catholic Church, you know, Protestant governments. The timing for this event is before the need to uproot three of the ten horns. So I'm suggesting that it's one of the earliest things that is carried out by the Antichrist before he goes on his military campaign. Think of all the people that have to fall in with him in order to make this happen. The armies of Europe, the different ones that are already trained soldiers that will join this. His appearance and the impact of it and other factors will be a catalyst to just pull this together quicker than any of the events that have unfolded in our history. Just boom, like that. All of our other big wars and things, it took time and yeah. Not this. It's going to be a blitzkrieg against the Catholics and the other things. I place it shortly before the destruction of economic Babylon, spoken of in chapter 18. We'll see. The oppressors and murderer of millions will find herself on the receiving end. This organization is responsible for much bloodshedding throughout her history. It's supposed to be a religious organization, but the killing of opposition and those that don't agree and all the other things involved in her history. Of course, most familiar to us, of course, probably if you've got heard anything about it in school, is the Inquisition. In Spain. That's a big example of slaughtering Christians and Jews. The church has no mandate to go out and kill people they don't agree with. It's ridiculous. No mandate exists for us. If people need to be killed, God will do it. I'm not talking about somebody's in the military. I'm not talking about someone's a policeman, that's a Christian. I'm talking about doing it in the name of your church. Your religious organization. There's been other religious organizations that have a bloody history too. The Mormons in Utah have one. You bet. back in their history. It all points to the fact that these organizations are satanic and evil. Satan and what he sponsors, he is a murderer and, of course, a liar, and dispenses all of his lies. The gates of hell will prevail against this woman, but not the true church of Jesus Christ. She and her history has been persecuted. But the gates of hell... Now, what are the gates of hell? The gates of hell are the entry point where the soul of an unbeliever goes through on their way to hell. The gates of hell. Those that are unbelievers, they will not. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. They will not overcome you and stamp you out of existence. Yes, persecution and martyrdom, but still the church has survived. The Roman government under this woman killed many Christians and celebrated it in Colosseums and elsewhere. They had several emperors that had that decreed these periods of persecution. Then it would die off, and then it would be sponsored again by Rome. Well, it's like that. I was moved by the fact that these several young Italian men with great voices, and they were singing in English. They were standing in the Colosseum up high. And then another guy was up higher playing the bagpipes. And they were singing Amazing Grace. And it was right down there on that floor that they had slaughtered Christians. Those who did it are gone. The church is still here. It was phenomenal that you have this complete turnaround. Who's still here and standing? It isn't the big bad Roman Empire. They've had dreams of it being revived and starting up again. Well, it will have a revival. I don't think the headquarters will be Rome, Italy. It'll be another place in Europe. Perhaps the headquarters where the European Union is. I don't know. The gates of hell will prevail against the woman. What do I mean by that? God's going to use the Antichrist as a tool to take her down. God is free to use evil entities, individuals, to judge evil. No. It's not a problem. It doesn't violate his righteousness. This is poetic justice. To be burned up with fire comes from a legal system that condemns the guilty of specific sex sins. In Leviticus, there were certain sex sins. If the Jews committed, the form of execution wasn't stoning. It was burning them at the stake. Leviticus 20:14, 21:9, Joshua 7:15, and 25. All right, I'll let you go 5 minutes early. I don't want to get into this next one until tomorrow night. See you then. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.